welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we're studying the second part of the book of Exodus. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6.
Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
In the first part of the book of Exodus, we learn that God delivered his people from their slavery to the Egyptians. We're picking back up in this story with God leading the Israelites through the desert to the mountain of Sinai. Here, God makes a covenant with Israel, and a covenant is like a promised agreement. Our closest comparison would be a contract, but a covenant is more relational. It's like the vows that a couple makes to each other on their wedding day. God is promising his faithfulness to Israel as their God, and Israel is promising their loyalty and obedience in return. As part of the covenant, God gives the Israelites his law, and its purpose is to serve as a guide to help Israel live in a right relationship with him. It's really important to understand that the law is not a way to earn God's love with obedience. The Israelites' obedience is to be a response to God's love already given to them. Let's use the marriage analogy again. When spouses are faithful to each other and seek to love the other well, they enjoy a closer, more fulfilling bond. In the same way, God's law guides Israel in behavior that promotes a close relationship with him. God asks his people to worship him alone and to love him with their whole hearts. God also wants the love in the people's relationship with him to overflow into love for others. In his law, God asks his people to take care of the poor and the vulnerable and the outsider. He tells them to uphold a society of justice. God wants this community of love to capture the attention of the world so that others might see God's love through his people and be drawn into a relationship with him. But if we look ahead in the story, we see that Israel does not keep this covenant. Israel ends up turning from God and worshiping idols. They neglect justice and act immorally. Throughout the rest of the book of Exodus and the entire Old Testament, we see that humans don't follow God's law obediently. In fact, they're actually unable to. You see, in holding up the standard to be in a relationship with God, the law actually revealed our inability to meet that standard. It showed us why Jesus had to come. Jesus came to earth as a man, personally taking on our human condition. He lived the perfect life, meeting every requirement of the law. He loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. He loved the poor and the weak and the outcast. And then in his greatest act of love for others, he gave his very life. He died for humanity's sin, for our inability to follow his law. And 3 days later, he rose again. With his death and resurrection, Jesus mediated a new covenant between us and God. Under this covenant, those who accept Jesus as their Savior are forgiven of their sins and credited with his perfect obedience to the law. They are also given new hearts. God's Holy Spirit comes to live inside of these hearts, uniting us to Christ. This means we have Jesus' very life inside of us, and this is a power that enables us to love God and others, the essence of the law. Jesus empowers us to obey him, that we might have a close relationship with him and an experience of abundant life, living the way our Creator designed us to function. When I was in middle school, I was exploring my faith and I decided I really wanted to pursue obedience to Christ. But then I remember thinking, what exactly has He called me to obey? So I started going through the Bible and writing down all of the commands I could find on this little whiteboard I had in my room, and I would read them every day to try to remember what I was supposed to be focusing on. I know you're probably thinking, what middle schooler does that? But I ended up getting really stressed because I couldn't remember all of the commands and I certainly couldn't obey them all. I would get so frustrated when I would mess up and I would just tell myself, I've got to try harder. Well, I'm sure you're not writing all of God's commands on a whiteboard in your room, but do you ever feel discouraged with your actions and choices? Do you ever get stressed out like you'll never be able to change or grow? Take a moment to reflect on this. Examine your heart and notice any areas where you might be feeling this discouragement or stress. The reality is, when we just try harder in response to our frustration, we're missing the power that's available to us in Christ. If you want to be a more obedient person, the key isn't working on your works. It's faith. When you focus on Christ, who He is and what He promises to be for you, obedience will inevitably flow from your life. For example, let's say I want to obey God's command given in the book of Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but let your requests be made known to God. Now let's say something stressful happens. I find out that someone spread an untrue rumor about me, and now a whole group of people think negatively of me. Do you think just trying really hard to not be anxious is going to work in this situation? But what if I instead exercise faith and focused on Christ? God says He knows everything about me. He knows what's true of me, and He's my judge. He also promises to one day bring everything to light. Now I'm starting to experience some peace in the midst of my anxiety. Focusing on Christ also compels me to obey the part of God's command to bring my request to Him in prayer. Naturally, I don't want to do that. I want to just jump in and try to fix the problem. But when I think about how Jesus endured something similar, how His family and friends misunderstood Him and His mission during His time on earth, how many thought He was crazy and some hated Him so much they wanted to kill Him, I want to bring my request to Him because I know He empathizes with me. He did not respond in anger and retaliation to those who hurt Him. And because I'm united to Him, I have the power to respond in love as well. I like to think of working on our works as trying really hard to get a car to go without filling it up with gas. No matter how much you think about the need for the car to drive or where it needs to be driven to, it's not going to drive without gas. Filling up a car with gas is like filling up our hearts with Christ and His promises. We don't need more willpower. We need more of Jesus. We need to meditate on the beauty of who He is. We need to delight in the amazing reality of all He's done for us. We need to soak in the hope of all He promises to do. So as you listen to the worship song coming up, take it as an opportunity to focus on Jesus and all He is to you. You have the power of His perfect life inside of you, leading you along the life-giving path of obedience.
For everyone who's hurting, wait on the Lord. For everyone who's broken, wait on.